The Brendan O'Connor Show on RTE Radio 1 with All Care Pharmacy. Advice and expertise on the relief you need from hay fever at All Care Community Pharmacies across Ireland.
Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1.
We're all very welcome back. A huge response to Christine's interview. One listener says, I agree with Christine. There's no support for parents who separate. I work with children whose parents are separated and they feel caught in the middle. They need to be allowed to love both parents. It is a remarkable memoir. But now on to something different, because we all know who won this year's Eurovision Song Contest in Turin. It was, of course, Ukraine. But the UK came in at an amazing second place with Sam Ryder's song Spaceman. And what I want to know this afternoon is, has Sam come back down to earth yet? Good afternoon, Sam. How are you keeping?
Hey, how's it going? Thanks so much for having me on.
Oh, listen, it's great to have you on. It's been absolutely incredible. Your streaming figures are insane. I think you've had over 82 million views on TikTok last week.
Oh gosh, I didn't know. I'm sitting here, you know. You're talking about coming back down to earth. I'm not sure about that, but I've come back down to Cornwall and my friend's giving me a little beard trim. The sun's blazing, just about to go for a surf. So life's fantastic. But I didn't know about the streaming.
One of incredible figures, 183 million who watched Eurovision. Just the huge following that you have on TikTok and the huge following, of course, at home in the UK who watched you. Can you describe the moment to us when you were top of the leaderboard with all of those dues points with a jury vote? Were you thinking, this is it, after a long time in the desert, the UK have won?
Yeah, like manna from heaven, wasn't it? But honestly, the best part about that experience, I keep talking about it with my friends since I've been home, is sitting there next to the guys from the BBC who have been doing this thing for years, going back and forth and coming home with varying degrees of success and therefore, you know, like different emotions, sometimes, you know, leaving and going home a bit gutted. But to sit next to them, people who live and breathe Eurovision and who, you know, are such fans, to enjoy the moment with them, like not knowing where to look because we've just got our first 12 points in, and just the sort of the laughter and the pure joy was amazing. I think for me, that was the highlight of the entire night, just watching those guys.
Obviously, Sam,
honestly,
look, I mean,
so lovely.
Obviously, this year was very much informed by the crisis in Ukraine. You're top of the leaderboard, but the Kalash Orchestra, Ukraine's entry, got 631 points for their song Stefania, which a lovely little school in Ireland sang for its new Ukrainian pupils earlier this week.
Oh, amazing.
Does part of you think that, you know, it might have been you and not Ukraine and Kalash Orchestra had it not been for that groundswell of support of Ukrainians in light of what they're going through right now?
Oh, honestly, I couldn't even begin to comment on that, because first of all, the song is a banger. I think we can all agree. Like, they absolutely sent it. It was such a good performance, and the team and the artists themselves became quite close and good friends over the course of those months leading up to May the 14th and that final night in Turin. But along with everyone else in that arena, couldn't have been happier. It was a perfect result, because for me, it's not just a case of an artist getting on stage for 3 minutes at the end of it. It's what Eurovision stands for and what it celebrates. And for me, it's always been about unity and solidarity and shining light into darkness when there is darkness in the world. And I think it couldn't have been a better conclusion to that whole journey.
Obviously, there'd be huge support for Ukraine to host it, but if that were not possible, do you think that the UK should host it instead?
I think the main focus of all of our energy should be that the Ukraine are able to. Obviously, we all hope that there'll be a prosperous, rejuvenated Ukraine by the time Eurovision comes along next year. And if it's not possible, then there will be options, and I'm sure something will be figured out. But I like to, as I'm sure you do as well, focus on the positives and keep our sort of hope.
And let's focus on the positives, because Eurovision has very much got caught up in the Brexit row, but the unbelievable support for you, not just in the jury vote, but elsewhere in terms of the press award. This is where the accredited members of the media gave that to you for your song, the Besançon Award. But do you think that this has destroyed any notion that Europe is biased against the UK because of matters elsewhere?
I think there is a certain element of that. For me personally, I've never wanted to buy into that stigma that the UK isn't liked by Europe. Even when you say that sentence out loud, it sounds a bit kind of playgroundish. Mm. And in our experience, myself and the team's experience, certainly there was no element of that. Everywhere that we went to visit, there was only welcome, kindness and love and sort of enjoyment and encouragement. So, and you can see what happened on the night. It wasn't that. Perhaps we have been telling ourselves a negative story and perpetuating that negative thought pattern, much the same way in the UK as we always talk about the weather in an awful way. Mm. And right now the sun's blazing, but I bet I could go down and have some conversation with someone and we'll be moaning about the weather at any given point.
You know, many people kind of mock Eurovision, but Ireland has an unbelievable fan base, it seems, for it. One of our listeners says, I'm not a Eurovision fan, but I have to say that was a great song. It was super energetic. It helped, and I know you got to sing a Celine Dion number with Conchita Wurst, but it kind of helped that you truly love the Eurovision.
Oh, I think, yeah, absolutely. And you guys know how to do it, don't you?
We're dad
you guys
hands.
Are amazing. Absolutely. But yeah, absolutely. If you go into anything and you're, it's like your last caller, Christine, was talking about, I just caught the very end of what seemed to be an amazing interview, but she's talking about gratitude and how important that is. And it's crucial going into something where you keep reminding yourself how lucky and privileged and honoured you are to even have the experience in the first place. Then your validation doesn't come from the numbers or the result at the end of it, because you're already experiencing a win because you're there, you're living and breathing it. So yeah, I think that's definitely important.
You've been a wedding singer amongst other things. I know you've wanted to be a singer since you were a small child. But look, did you watch it growing up? Was Eurovision, like for us, it was kind of one of the big family sit-arounds that you got to see?
Yeah, like everyone in the lounge, telly on, picky tea. It was just brilliant. Some of the like lovely, like early fond memories of just music. And I love how some friends of mine whose parents got small kids, like they're stoked about it now and can't wait for next year. I mean, I can't wait for next year. I'm not sure about you, but I haven't stopped listening to the Eurovision playlist this year because it's so diverse and entertaining and just fun.
Your own family weren't, you know, your mum was a dental assistant, your dad a carpenter. They weren't musical themselves, but they were obviously very encouraging of you as a young child and as a young teenager.
Yeah, they weren't musical, but they did whatever they could to help me on my little journey. So my dad was a carpenter, like you said, and he helped me by giving me a job with him. And I was obviously probably more of a hindrance in the years that we worked together for my poor old dad. But it was amazing because then it meant that if I needed to leave work early on a Friday, you weren't sort of... everyone, I'm sure there are people listening to this right now that knows how that feels when you're going to chat to the boss and you just know that they don't really want to let you go early to go and play a gig to no one.
What's your favourite song? What is your kind of favourite song, Eurovision or otherwise?
Well, my favourite Eurovision moment, definitely Lordy, Hard Rock Hallelujah. in terms of favourite song ever, that's a tall order. I can't. Yeah. I'm sitting in the barber chair right now. I think that might be too much for me to.
Can I talk about your journey? I mentioned TikTok earlier, but perhaps it's a reflection of kind of the younger generation of artists. But you know, during lockdown, you kind of started posting TikTok videos of you were, you know, just less than 15 seconds, but they've been phenomenally successful for you. You're a TikTok sensation, I think, as the phrase goes.
Yeah, it curls your toes a little bit. But honestly, I wouldn't be here without TikTok. Such an amazing platform. And I, there was no expectation at all at the beginning. That I think the first video I sang was Britney Spears, Hit Me Baby One More Time in my mum's kitchen. And it started snowballing from there. And again, that's another weird sentence to say. But it was that song. And you never know where those doors are going to open and how they're going to open. But it was in my mum's kitchen.
it's taken off. What was it about that? I tell you what, that Hit Me Baby One More Time has been responsible for many many ripples, I can tell you. But what was it kind of about you? And then, like, I mean, just you're hitting on, you're doing 15 seconds, because that TikTok sensation collided with what felt to me, or certainly seemed to be, a very strategic decision by the UK to curate and just kind of not leave Eurovision to chance. They were actually trying to create and support an emerging, or somebody who would go on to become a fully fledged artist.
Yeah, I mean, I can't speak for too much of the strategy. What I can say, and I don't think anyone would be annoyed at me for saying this, hopefully not from TAP or the BBC, but I don't think there were many people knocking on the door to go and sing at Eurovision from the UK, because it's quite a risk. If someone's having a moment on TikTok, let's say, and it looks like they might have a promising career in front of them, the notion of them going to sing at Eurovision could be deemed by a management and a label as like, well, hang on, let's not do that, because we don't want to extinguish the fire before we've got it going, kind of thing, you know, because you never know what's going to happen. But when I got the offer, I'm a fan of Eurovision, so I jumped at the opportunity to do it. And I think there was some trepidation from people, and also myself, because when people are, you know, respond with trepidation, it gets you to second guess yourself too. But then it's important to remember that those thoughts and those worries come from you.
And
you can turn them around.
Are you second guessing yourself at all? Because one minute you're doing Hit Me Baby One More Time in your mommy's kitchen, and the next you are going to be headlining with Brian May at the Platinum Jubilee Party in next month. You're going to be headlining with Brian May. You're going to be up there with Alicia Keys, Duran Duran and Diana Ross. Have you been second guessing yourself at all in recent weeks?
I can hear Del Boy in my ear saying, "You dared win." No, honestly, I'm so, so grateful. What an amazing thing to be a part of. I just couldn't. It's the stuff of dreams, really.
Yeah. Would you do it all over again? Would you like to sing for the UK again? Would you like to get another kind of shot at gold this time?
I'd say never say never, but I think that year for me, being a part of such a monumental moment where the Ukraine had the support of all of us was incredible, and I wouldn't want to do it again to search for a win. I think it's important now that maybe the UK have had this renewed attitude towards Eurovision, and I think the undiscovered plethora of diverse talent that we have in the UK now may feel like it's not too risky, or not like a fatal career move to be a part of Eurovision. And that was the main goal for us, because Eurovision's amazing and we should celebrate it.
It's never about the individual, it's always about the team. How has your girlfriend, Louis Gaskin-Barber, been dealing with your huge change? Is she keeping your feet on the ground?
Absolutely wouldn't have happened without her. Absolutely wouldn't have. You know what it's like.
Yeah. And do you think that it has? Because, as I say, you know, Eurovision kind of tends to go through, like all things, kind of cycles. But when you look at the numbers from people all around the world, everything, do you think your win has possibly renewed trust in the competition, and indeed the vision behind Eurovision now that you have done so well in it?
Well, the whole team was so assimilated behind the, like, just bringing a positive energy to it. And I think that has been felt. And it's a start, you know. Like you said before, it is a team effort. And it's just the start of this journey and this new kind of renewing this attitude towards Eurovision. I couldn't be more excited about it as a fan as well, just to see who's going to do what next. And, I think it's going to be lovely.
Well, it still sounds as if your head is still well in the clouds, that you haven't come back down to earth yet. But Sam Ryder, what we're going to do is just remind people of that absolute banging track, Spaceman. Thank you for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you so much for having me, and big up Brooke. She smashed it, one absolute riot. I'd be floating in midair, and a broken heart would just belong to someone else down there. Center of my lonely universe, but I'm only
earth.